and welcome everyone. This is the Spiritual Intuitive Business Circle. My name is Andrea Cowley. I'm a content strategist and I'm here today as usual with my partner in crime, Kerry McGilvray, psychic medium. Hey, Kerry. Hey, welcome to our broadcast, whether you are watching it with us live or joining us on the replay. Today, today's topic is when not everyone loves what you do. And we picked this topic because I'm actually going to manage to bring this up on the, here we go. So it's on the screen now. So we picked this topic because we both have noticed that there are many women or spiritual practitioners in general out there who do their thing, whether they are healers or readers or, you know, whatever it is that they do or you do, who aren't exactly supported in their spiritual work. And we thought that that would be a good idea to unpack that a little bit and talk about it and just why that is and how to live or move through your spiritual journey with that sort of baggage. So, yeah, what happens, Kerry, when not everyone loves what you do?
Well, I don't think it's just specific to business. Obviously, there's always areas of our life that people have an opinion on. And quite frankly, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's not always nice, right? We don't always agree with it and we don't have to. But, I mean, everyone is entitled to their opinion. But what you learn very quickly when you start to get into a business space, and you automatically do this in other areas of your life too. So if you think back to when you were in high school, for example, it's a really good example of where you would have done this automatically.
That's
right?
A perfect example, yeah.
Right? Most of us would have, you know, started to talk about some of our beliefs or some of our, you know, wishes or dreams and things like that, and you would have had people around you who just shit on them, right, and told you that that's terrible or I don't believe that or that's not right, and all these opinions start to pop up. So what do most of us automatically do is we stop talking about it. And while that may not be the best solution in long term, short term it is. So for me, I've always believed that when I learnt that very early on, back in high school, I learnt that quite a lot. I got to the point where I actually stopped talking to everybody for a few weeks before my HSC because they just all turned into utter nutcases. And what then happened was I then became really selective with who I expressed those opinions with, and it needed to be a place that was safe, right, that's safe and someone who also was on the same wavelength. And this is something that I really believe in and I feel really strongly about. And whenever I work with my psychic development students or my business students, like my clients, I always say that you don't have to tell everyone everything. Right?
Yes.
You know, find people who understand business and talk with them. Don't talk to Joe Blow down the road who, you know, sits in a corporate office all day and just does his data entry. He doesn't have a clue how to run a small business. Unless he's done some business degree, he really doesn't. So why talk to people who have no idea and don't understand it? Because they're only going to project their opinions from what they know in their past and what other people have told them. And, you know, most of us has probably seen someone who's tried to start a small business and they've failed epically. Failed and they've had to give it all up or they've lost their house or, you know, something really big has happened to someone who's tried to give it a good shot, and that's the thing that people remember. Because once
and
they
there
start
are different, yeah, there are different reasons why people fail. I think it's really easy to judge, or he or she failed because she wasn't good enough or she wasn't this or she wasn't that. There could have been a million reasons why someone failed in their business. Or didn't do as well as they wanted to do or as they expected to do.
That's right.
I think people are really, really quick to judge. It was because, you know, there's everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an
opinion.
They sure
do.
And people aren't going to be shy to give it to you either. Because
whether you ask for it or not.
Exactly, exactly. And there's a perfect example, and there's something that drives me in my business, and that's something that happened to my mum, who had an opportunity to buy a business back home in Hungary. And I might have mentioned this story in a couple of Facebook Lives on my page before. So she had the opportunity to buy this business at a really good price, and she would have been really great at it because it was right up her alley and all that. But my father just kept going at it and at her, you know, don't buy it, you know, projecting all his fears and all his doubts about himself and about his own self-worth. He was projecting them to my mum, to the point where my mum actually gave up on the dream of buying that business, and she missed out on it. And someone else bought it who made it into a really thriving, pumping, vibrant business that is making a crap load of money, you know. And my mum has been like, she was disappointed in herself as well, because she let my dad get to her, you know. But this is what happens when, you know, he didn't love what she wanted to do, and she ended up disappointed. They both could have benefited from it, essentially, but because of his fears and his lack of belief, neither of them are benefiting from it. So
and yeah. See, if you wanted to unpack what happened in that relationship between your parents,
right? Oh yeah.
Oh mate, there's some juicy stuff in there. And this will lead on to later on when we talk about spouses. But just while we're on that topic there with your parents, a lot of his fear would have come around from, because they were back in the time where the man made all the money. So if she had bought this business and it became so successful that she made more money than him, that would have been very demasculating for him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So he would have come up with anything under the sun just to make sure it didn't happen.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. It sounded like he did.
Yeah, he did. You know what? All that, this happened years ago, years before I started my business, but it's something that actually came up through my own personal development and my own personal inner work that is related to my business. And it's come up because there were my own fears that I was battling with, but there were also all these outside influences when people were telling me, you know, oh, what if this happens, or what if that happens, you know, just bringing up all that doubt and building on what I already had, instead of actually going, no, why don't you give it a go, you know, instead of being encouraging, it was all discouraging. So that was a lot of personal work for me, and it was actually a good reminder of how unhappy someone can become if they don't follow their gut and if they don't fight for their dream.
Lot of the big stuff. And when people don't love what you do, there's usually an element in what you do that kind of really triggers them, and that's why they don't love it, because it shows a side of them that they're really uncomfortable with. So, you know, like if we're psychic, I always use that one because it's a really good example. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that. And I've had friends fall away, and I've mentioned this before, and that's because they think I can go looking in all their closets and find all their skeletons, and, like, I couldn't give a rat's ass, right? Unless they want me to look. I don't want to look, man. Do you know how much energy it takes for me to be spying in everyone's cupboard? Like, seriously.
Yeah, like, why would you? Why would you when you have Netflix?
I know, that's right. Who needs it? You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
But that's what can happen.
In the psychic and the spiritual space, this is especially prevalent because when you do psychic work and spiritual work, that requires a level of belief and a certain type of belief. And when people don't have that, they just look at you like you're a crackpot, you know. And when add the additional thing of, or the additional element of wanting to make a business out of it, and not only they do not believe in the stuff that you do, they don't believe that you can make a business out of that stuff that you do. So there's that. It's a multi-layered stuff. And for someone who who's doing this sort of business, it's not just the all the business stuff that they have to sort through. It is that additional stuff of battling with, you know, when, you know, your friends don't agree with what you do or don't believe in what you do. It feels really personal. It's like, oh, they don't believe in me.
Yep.
It can be really, really discouraging.
And sometimes they even take it down the path that then they believe you're a charlatan.
Mm.
Or a scam artist. Because, you know, because everyone's watched The Mentalist and he was a carny. Like, it's not the same thing. Do you know what I mean? Like the stereotypes that we get from TV and movies are not the same thing. And that it's also very, very different. But, you know, when people don't have the same beliefs as us, it's very easy for them to just think, be skeptical about it and just think that we're being charlatans or that we're just ripping people off or, you know, and their opinion and view will change. But that's okay. That is 100% okay.
You're the same person that you were before you came out. And I think one of the ladies in one of the posts on Facebook, one of our posts on Facebook said, I think I'm in a spiritual closet, or I'm in the closet spiritually.
Mm.
And I think this is where that plays in, like spirituality and all the inner work that you do, that's supposed to help you unravel your full potential and all that. So when someone's in a spiritual closet, that would be really limiting. So you're limiting yourself as a person, or if you are judging someone else for doing spiritual work, then you are limiting them. And that's a very insidious relationship dynamic, isn't it?
Well, it is. And like most of those people who are doing that spiritual work, generally speaking, aren't going to knock on your door and say that you're a really crap data entry person and you should really just give it all up.
Like, interesting, isn't it?
They just don't do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like generally speaking, we don't say that to each other, but the second that someone gets in business, they think all of a sudden that they're entitled to have an opinion about it and they should definitely share it with you because they're only trying to protect you. I'm doing this for you. Really? That's not what I'm seeing.
It's interesting. Like, we only have an hour to talk about.
I know.
But
we could ramble for hours.
We could, because it's such an intricate problem and it reaches into a lot of areas of people's lives. So it's not just about your professional life, it's about your personal life, it's about your relationship with yourself, because we want people to support us in whatever endeavor we go on. And whether that's our friends or our family, you know, whoever it is, whether that's our work colleagues, we want them to support us and encourage us in what we do. But as soon as someone comes in, you know, there could be 100 people supporting us, but there could be one person who goes or, you know, discouraging and doubtful on us, and then we start believing that person, we start listening to that person.
Because they're louder.
Yes.
To us, they're louder. And our brain will find what we need to satisfy the doubt that's already there.
It's like, it's kind of like, yeah, I knew it. I knew it. Someone else can see it. I can see it. I knew it. I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Or I'm not this. I'm not that.
Yeah. Because then we just justify what everyone else was saying as lies. Mm. They're just telling me a white lie to help.
They just lies
to make me feel better.
They're
not telling me the truth. Whereas this arsehole that you've met down at the supermarket that thinks you're a nutcase, he's obviously telling me the truth.
Yeah. For some reason, the human brain just defaults to the negative.
It does.
And I wonder that is something that this is what humans are like, or is this something that we've developed over, I don't know, thousands of years, or maybe hundreds of years? You know, when did that start, and why did that start? That could be like a, you know, mind-blowing
I do believe it's conditioning. I believe it's conditioning. over centuries and centuries and centuries. The second that anyone tried to take control of the population, that's when it happened.
We talked about this before, how fear is used to control.
And they only need to sprinkle enough breadcrumbs to trigger.
Yeah.
Because we've all got those neurological pathways happening.
Here's a bit of doubt for you. Match powder, and all of a sudden everybody is depressed.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna bring the conversation back to the topic that we started with, because I can feel us sort of veering off a little bit. Today we are talking about what happens when not everybody loves what you do, and whether that is about a spiritual business or your normal business. I put it into inverted commas, because why wouldn't a spiritual business be a normal business, right? So, okay, so let's look at sacred journeys and why it is that you don't have to tell everyone.
So we all come here to go through an experience and a journey, basically. The whole reason that we come to human formation is so that we can go on this spiritual and soul journey. And that is ours and ours alone. It's no one else's. And if that means that we need to go up 10 hills and down 3 mountains, it doesn't matter. It's our journey, and it's our journey alone. So you don't have to tell everybody. You do need to tell someone, because you can't do it on your own, right? I honestly believe that you need to have someone that you can talk to, because it gets very lonely if you don't. And that's never why we come here, right? We don't come here for the loneliness, except for the ones that hide in caves up mountains. That's their thing.
You're talking about hermits.
I'm sure that's what they're here for, but most of us don't come here for the loneliness. But it's just about us finding the right people to tell, right? So, you know, like, for example, religion's a really good example of this, right? So, and spirituality can be kind of classed in that same context. So most people, when they want to talk religion, they go to their church and they talk with the people at their church about religion. They may not walk out and talk to everyone at work about religion. They're not going to start. Some will. There are the odd ones that will, but generally speaking, most people, that's their sacred belief. That's theirs and theirs alone, and they don't need to feel the need to shout it from the rooftops. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to try and convert everyone they talk to. It's just what it is. And it's quite simple for us to accept that, right? So most of us have come to terms with accepting all the standard religions, right? And we talk to our own. So this is what I'm saying with this, is that our faith and our journey is all sacred, and you need to find your crew or tribe to talk to. And you keep it with them, because they're supportive, they have the same beliefs, and when you talk, they listen, because they all feel the same thing.
And especially if that spirituality drives your life and drives your other decisions, then that community is going to be a lot more supportive than any other community. Even if it's, you know, like you do your business and you have your spirituality and all that, but if you go into a business group that has nothing to do with spirituality and you try to share, what you'll find is that people won't respond at all, because they don't know what to do with you. They don't understand that spiritual language if they're not into it themselves. They understand the business part of it, but if you integrate your spirituality with your business, it's going to be hard for them to actually support you in what you need, because there isn't that nourishment, there isn't that experience, there isn't that sense of belonging that people feel when those two come together, I think.
Yes, absolutely. So okay. it can make it a little bit tricky.
It can. How do you find, how do you decide who to share it with or who you don't share it with?
So
how do you find your safe spaces?
So most of us will already automatically know who we don't shouldn't share it with, and they're all the ones, all the naysayers, right? So anyone who gives you that pearl of wisdom that is no support whatsoever, don't talk to them. Right,
you don't need that kind of negativity in your life.
And if you're going to see them at a barbecue and they ask, oh, so how's things going, same old, that's what you say. That's all they get, because that's all they deserve, because otherwise they're just going to shit on everything. So don't talk to them. But then you might go to groups of like-minded people. So, some people go to spiritual church, right? And that's where they connect with other people that are very similar to them, have the same kind of beliefs. It's no different to a Catholic going to Catholic church, and Orthodox going to Orthodox. Doesn't really matter, right? They're all just going to where their tribe hangs out. So you can do that. You can go to a place like spiritual church. You can go to places like fairs. You can go to, there's plenty of groups on Facebook. What I would do is, if you want to go down that path, is join the group. And before you say anything, pay attention to what's going on in the group. So hang out in stealth mode. Hang out in stealth mode, right? And, check the kind of posts that are going up, the comments and reactions to those posts. So, if someone's getting on and being a negative Nancy on those posts, then I'd probably just jump straight out of that group. It's not the right group. But if you're finding all the people that are in there are really supportive, and they're really uplifting, and they're sharing wonderful things, and they're really excited, and they love everybody, then that's the kind of place that you want to be. That's where you should feel safe, and you just kind of, you drip feed it, right? So to test the waters, you put just a little bit of information and see, gauge what the response is. And then, the more you feel comfortable in that space, then the more information you can share. So it's all about kind of just testing the waters and where it works for you, but I would definitely say that you need to find a group that feels right. And most of the ones that are in business or spiritual businesses should be able to feel what feels right. So they should be pretty good at that. But I would still say hang back and kind of observe in stealth mode, just to be sure before you start, posting everything.
Yeah, before you come out and go, ta-da, what I'm about. I'm always a little bit suspicious about people who, they're brand new in the group, they've been in there for 5 minutes, and then they write this massive essay about their spiritual journey and they want to share everything. And I'm like, whoa, just back it up a little bit. I'm not here to, read your life story. Let's just get to know each other bit by bit, by asking questions. It's not like a job application where you need to hand in your resume and your credentials and all that sort of stuff, So when someone does that, I'd be like, okay, you obviously like talking about yourself. Look, this is just me. It might be completely innocent, the whole thing, but again, like you said, about the vibe and different things suit different people. And obviously not saying to be exclusive, to only hang out with your peeps. By all means, hang out with whoever you want to hang out with, but we're talking about sharing parts of yourself that are intimate and sacred, because your spiritual journey is sacred. And when you weave your spiritual journey into your business, and it's a very integral part of your business becomes sacred business. It becomes sacred by default. So this is where you want to be, selective who you share that with, because you don't want to come all out and go, hey, here's my business and this is what I do, and then come, wait for a bunch of people to come and poop on it. Because they will. People love doing that sort of stuff for some reason. It's pretty nasty. But
it is, because it's easier to tear something down than it is to make sure that yours is bigger.
It is. And like you, Kerry, I've lost friends. Yes. Over that as well. But I made some choices in my life, especially, starting my business and pursuing certain things. They didn't like it. And caused friction, and eventually we parted ways, but it was probably for the better, because, again,
so the trash took itself out.
I wouldn't call it trash, because I cherish the years that we've spent together and all that, but it was just like it was a natural parting of ways. If you can no longer support what I'm doing and who I am, then you probably shouldn't be in my circle.
Yeah.
So, it's a goodbye thing. Yes. And it's okay to do that. I think this brings us to the next point in our agenda, and which is a hater to celebrate. What to do with haters? Because some people just take the whole not agreeing with you or not supporting you kind of stuff to the next level, or 10 levels up, because hating is like, I think that's pretty far away from not supporting. Yeah. But you do
doesn't get much further.
yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of a jump, especially when you're online, because there's no accountability. But what happens when the people who aren't supporting you become your haters?
So tough. In the online space, usually you celebrate it. And the reason that you celebrate it in the online space is because it means that you're actually getting your message across. And it means that the whole reason that you are in business to start with is that you have something that you want to deliver to someone else. So you have a service that you want to give to someone else to help them, unless, of course, you're a product-based business. But generally speaking, we're service-based businesses, so we want to help others. And if we are really, really loud at getting our message out and across the online space, then basically it means that someone who we wouldn't normally reach has actually seen our message, right? Via someone else who's probably liked or shared it or whatever, right? And that just means that we're getting further and further out to more and more people, right? So the fact that you've hit someone who's now a hater, you celebrate that, because it means that your message is getting out there, and it's getting a long way out there, and people are actually getting really clear messaging on actually what you stand for and who you are. And that's something that should be celebrated, because we should really celebrate who we are and what we stand for. And the whole idea of being here on this planet is about us having our own belief system. And we don't have to make everybody happy. And when we can be comfortable with not making everybody happy, we should be celebrating. And that's what I think that's all about.
Darcy is saying, I'll just bring her comment up on the screen. She's saying, haters, non-believers suck your energy and completely drain you. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, they do. Even if you're not talking to them, it's just the energy that they send you. When they think about you, if you believe in that sort of stuff, even that can be detrimental to yourself personally and your business as well. So I know a lot of people in spiritual businesses protect themselves from non-believers and haters in metaphysical ways, like they either put up wards around their house or their business, or they crystal grid, or, they've got a spirit guide who is tasked with that specific thing, to protect their person or their business and all that. So there's all sorts of ways that people can.
I have all of those.
That does not surprise me one bit.
No.
That does not surprise me one bit. I'm a little bit different on my belief on protection and all that, but we'll leave that for another day.
Yeah.
But I think. Again, when you're in a spiritual business, that added element of energy, especially when you're aware of it, can be, or when you're not aware of it, it can be really damaging, because all you can feel is just this, I'm swimming in this mud, I can't do this, I can't see that, things are just not working, and you don't realize that it's some energetic influence that's coming in from other people who look at you and, just send you darts and like psychic darts and all that sort of stuff. And, sometimes all you need to do is just go and see a friend who can remove the evil eye for you or something like that, I love that ritual and the whole thing around it.
The other thing that you want to cover off about the haters, right, is not all of them are online.
Mm.
So I was at a spiritual fair once, and every year at this particular fair, these skeptics come around every year. And they interview you. They talk to you about it, and they're condescending, and they do all these things. But the thing when you're trying to address a hater in public, when you're in face-to-face scenario, I always find that the thing that works best for that isn't celebrating, because that doesn't work in face-to-face, but compassion.
Mm.
So I always approach it with the fact that, yes, I believe these things, but you don't have to. And you are totally allowed to believe whatever you believe. Because if I don't believe that, right, if I don't believe that everyone's entitled to believe whatever they want to believe, then I'm not really believing what I believe. Mm. If that makes sense.
It does. I have to follow you very carefully, though, through that one.
Yeah. Because, you know, part of my belief system is that everyone is entitled to believe whatever they believe.
Mm.
So when someone comes to me and questions what I believe, I allow them to actually, and I'm really compassionate about their questions. Mm. And if they start to go, well, that doesn't make any sense, how do you know that there's people there and blah, 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 I can give them information, but I do it very, very calmly. Mm. And when they go, well, I don't believe that, I'm like, that's okay, you don't have to. You know, like, I'm really calm about it and really compassionate. Mm. And I don't go, no, you have to believe, and jam it down their throat. And, you know, what are you doing here if you don't believe, you know? I don't do any of that, because I actually find some of those conversations are really, really fascinating.
Mm.
So I enjoy some of them.
I had my own experiences with skeptics, and again, that's for a whole other show, because I can tell you some stories. I think it's just working on the basic human premise of respecting each other.
Yeah.
When you get haters, I think when you get haters on your business or on what you do, there's always an underlying thing. And oftentimes that underlying thing is something, either jealousy or something similar, or envious or something missing from their lives. And it doesn't register, but it registers for them that you have it. Yes. And therefore, you know, there's that relationship dynamic that develops where it's like, how dare you? How dare you have that thing that I want to have, but I'm not making any steps to get those things. But there isn't that awareness that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So I think when you talk about compassion, even in an online environment, when you use compassion with those haters or those naysayers or those people who aren't supporting you, I think that once you flip that, so instead of being wounded and instead of feeling unsupported and discouraged, if you flip that and use your compassion to look at them and go, there is a reason why they are like that. I think that changes that dynamic. And it also changes it for you, because then you're not going to become that person that has this negative pattern going on, and, oh, I'm not being validated by someone else.
Mm.
Instead, you have this thing where you go, oh, this person deserves my compassion because, you know.
Yeah.
But, of course, there are the trolls, which is the extreme representation of the hater or the unsupporting person. There's the trolls who will just come after you no matter what, and will just hate on you no matter what.
That's right. And it's totally okay to block them.
No compassion for those people. None whatsoever. Block and delete.
I still have a little bit of compassion for them, because there's something that causes them to do that, right?
Mm.
Even though they're at their extreme, there is something that has caused them to go down to that extreme.
Mm.
So there's still a level of compassion for them. But my business page and my business groups and my personal page, they are all my sacred space. So if you come into my sacred space and sprinkle that shit all over the place, I will kick your ass out. That's it. Because I need to keep it, it's okay. I need to keep it safe for everybody else.
Yeah, it's okay to do that. So if you're watching this and you've had some nasty people trolling your group, your page, your personal profile, whatever platform you're on, feel free to delete and block them and not feel bad about it whatsoever. This is within your prerogative to do that. And like Kerry said, you need to keep your space clean, not just for yourself, but for the people who are also sharing that space with you.
Yeah.
Like your audience or your groupies or your followers, you know, whatever you want to call them. Okay. So now there's a something that's a little bit not controversial, but it's a heavy topic. And this is our last agenda point for today, and probably the one that will take up the longest time is what happens when you feel unsupported at home? So whether that's your partner or other family members, you know, it could be your parents, could be your brother or sister, whoever. So someone who is close to you and they just think that what you do is bullshit. What happened then?
That's probably the hardest one to navigate. So when it comes to family, a whole different level of values come into play. And our family have been with us for a very long time, no matter which one they are, brother, sister, mother, in-laws, whatever, it doesn't matter, spouse, right? They've been with us for long enough to know what our buttons are and how to push them. So whether they do it intentionally or not, it doesn't matter. The point is that some households, when you were raised, were naturally more negative than positive, right? It's just the way some families are, right? They always looked for the bad in things, and, you know, that could come from when they may have migrated here and they never had anything, so they've always tried to protect everything they've got. You know, so the second that you want to break out of that and do something different, that kind of triggers all those fears within them, so they get really unsupportive, and that's because they're trying to keep their family safe because they're only doing what they know how to do, right? They don't, most of them don't know any better. It can get really complicated when it's your spouse.
Yes. I don't have that problem, but I've worked with people who do, and I can see the damage that it can do. Yeah.
And it can get, like, I don't really have that problem either. But what can happen is that there can be a lot of mixed messages that happen between spouses when it comes to trying to start your own business, especially something that, you know, they never realized was such a big thing in your life. It may not have been. Do you know what I mean? Like when you guys first got together, a lot of people got together, you know, 10 years ago. And at that point in time, hardly any of us had time for that because we were young and silly and doing God knows what. But, you know, as we develop over the years, we find the need for that growth and that spiritual connection, regardless of whichever way it comes. And that then usually... And this happens for a lot of women, right? I found it happens more so for women, is that when they start to grow in that space spiritually and they go through the process of having a family and doing all those things, one of their needs and their values change once they go down the whole family path and start having kids. And then all of a sudden they want something different to what they wanted when you first got together. And that really confuses the spouse because they were all like, well, I thought we were heading down this road and now you want to do this. I'm confused.
Yeah, that's
not
what I signed up for.
I'm like, what do you mean? We can't do that. No. We have to go down this road. Like, you know, everything's mapped out. Like some get really anxious about change.
Yeah.
And that can be what it is, right? You know, they don't understand how to handle change. But the mothers especially who go into spiritual business, I find that most mothers develop a lot of their spiritual ability or skill, like they deepen that through pregnancy. Like I know from personal experience, mine heightened massively during my pregnancies. And then it just continued as a natural part of my growth. I've always been interested, but it's just, it expanded from that time frame. And then I get to the point where I'm now got two children in primary school and I actually want to be there for them.
Mm.
Like, my mum worked the entire time that I was at school, and I had, you know, before and after school care and all that kind of stuff, and I actually don't want that for my boys.
Mm.
That's something that I wanted to do different, and I haven't been able to do it for a while, but the fact that I started a business was with the aim that, one, that I can help and serve others, and, two, that I can be there for my family.
Mm.
So a lot of us create a business out of our spiritual abilities so that we can be there for our families. It's such a big call for us. And a lot of husbands can get really confused with, I thought we were trying to save money, or, you know, go on a holiday, or, you know, expand our investment properties or whatever it is, right? You know, a lot of husbands focus on security. And when you tap into your intuitive side of things, you go with a lot more trust, which doesn't come with security, right? They don't come together.
Not in the traditional sense. There is security in knowing that you're making the right decision in your gut, but then how do you explain that in, like, monetary terms, or how do
put it? Like, it doesn't come with a check.
It's still going to be paid. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. And, you know, men are quite logical thinkers, so that's why it can get a little bit tricky to navigate that, because they think differently to us. So the messages then become really mixed, is because they're like, oh, okay, well, you know, I love you and I want to support you and, you know, I want to do all those things and I'd love for you to be there with the kids. But then, you know, that's in one conversation, and then, you know, like 3 months down the track, well, I thought you would have been making more money by now. You said to trust me with you with this, right? You know, I was expecting you to bring in the same income that you'd be bringing in when you're commercially working. So, you know, like, what's going on? Like, how long is this going to take? Yeah. and then you, of course, go, oh, just trust, have faith. And they just go, oh, my God.
It's intangible. How do you explain that to someone who have that level of understanding? Like, and there are families where that's the sort of thing happens. But I've also seen where this creates extreme friction between couples, or, you know, between people and their families. And sometimes it isn't even about the money. It's just about the fact that, you know, you're working on your spiritual business, and that is the basis, like you talked about before, Kerry, about faith and intuition and all that. And that is the basis of your business. And some people might go, oh, yeah, that's how she does business. But other people will go, who don't believe in that sort of stuff to start with, and they go, okay, so how do you propose to make this work? And it just escalates. And I've seen women, because this isn't only just happening to women, but this is what I've got experience with, so this is the stories that I can tell you, where, you know, the woman needs to ask for money from the husband, and the husband goes, okay, so what do you want this money for? And then the woman goes, well, I need this money to, you know, pay for XYZ for my business. And the husband goes, I'm not going to give it to you because I don't think that that's a good investment. So it changes that relationship dynamic of, you know, husband and wife, or boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, whatever the dynamic is, to I'm the one with the money, I'm the one with the power, and I decide whether I'm going to contribute to your growth.
Yes.
And that is where it gets really complicated, and friction can get really bad. And this is where most of the time I see women not blooming to their full potential in a business or in a spiritual journey that could be amazing. And then resentment develops towards the other person who could have helped them but didn't. And it just kind of piles on top of things, I think. So I think you can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah. But the other thing that can happen too is, like, if your family or the people that are close to you believe in different things. So if you're taking the spiritual path of believing in, whether it's spirit guides, the universe, or whatever it is for you, right, you know, because it's very unique and it's very individual, and the rest of your family are full-fledged Catholics and think that the work that you're doing is devil's work, that makes things really hard. Because that will almost, you know, some families will ostracize you for that because you are no longer believing what they believe, and they are convinced that you will go to hell.
Yeah, so being shunned. Yeah, that person. She does whatever, you know, tarot cards, or she does Reiki, so we no longer consider her a part of our family, which is heartbreaking.
It is
heartbreaking.
But a lot of people have gone down that path, and, you know, I'm not going to say that they've all worked out well, but a lot of people have taken that step away from their family to find themselves spiritually, to get themselves spiritually strong and sound so that they can go back and then work on that relationship. So sometimes that's okay. Do you know what I mean? It needs to be okay for you. So you really need to check in with yourself to make that decision. Now, I'm not going to tell any of you to leave your family or your husbands or whatever. But basically, you need to take that step and work out for yourself if that's actually what you should be doing. And some wives have left husbands because the spiritual differences are that far misaligned now that there's just no way to come back from that.
Yeah, and there's no reconciliation.
There isn't, and especially when that resentment builds, right? Because resentment kills love. It does.
And there's no way back from there, I don't think.
It's very, very hard to come back from resentment. So whenever you start to see yourself resenting your spouse or a family member or anything like that, sometimes it's better to have time out. Because the more that you push and the harder that you push, the more resentment you're going to have, and you'll get to a point where it won't be fixable. Whereas if you, the second that you see it start to surface within you, if you go, hold on a second, I need to stop and we need to work out what's going on here and really dig deep and find out what's going on within you and what you need to do, then you have an opportunity that you could possibly repair it. But you need to catch it early.
It goes so much deeper than just someone not liking what you do. Doesn't it?
It does.
Goes so much deeper, and I have seen women leaving their husbands for that reason. Maybe that is one of the reasons for the high divorce rates, you know, of our generation and older people, like between 42
to 45. Pretty sure there's something else. I think it's something else.
I think it may contribute. I think it would definitely contribute because. The people grow at a different pace to each other, which is fine. But when someone tries to hold the other person back, you know, hold on to their legs and, no, you're not leaving me. You need to stay on the spiritual level that I am, even though I don't have a spiritual level. You know, this is where it becomes unfair. And I think, to be honest, I see it as an empowering thing for women, actually, when they go and choose their spiritual path over being suppressed or oppressed for the sake of following societal norms, because, you know, I have to stay married or I have to stay with this person because of whatever.
Well, security.
Exactly. So in a way it's empowering for women, I think. But it is a very, very hard thing to go through. And what you mentioned before, Kerry, to have a community where you can go and be yourself and bloom in your spiritual journey or bloom in your business or, you know, the combination of the two, it becomes even more important when you don't get that sort of support at home, because, you know, you can go into that community, whether online or offline, and fill up, And then you can go back home into that relationship that isn't that supportive of what you do and still be a normal, reasonable, loving person, because you're getting that fulfillment from somewhere else.
That's right. And you don't have to get all the support from home. Right? Because that's the house that raised you, or the marriage that you're in. You know, you've got a lot of things from those places, and you've got to be thankful for that, because it's made you the person who you are, who's wanted to know more, who's wanted to dig deep, you know, and go down that path. So there's a lot of love and a lot of, you know, gratitude for that. But you need to, just because they say that you should be fully supported at home, that's not always what they mean. Right? So when it comes to spiritual choices, you can have people who are Catholic and Anglican get married, or you can have people who are Jewish and Catholic get married, and they can live side by side and be quite supportive of each other and respect each other's spiritual decisions, right? You can have those mixed religion marriages and they work, right? They still work. So it's just basically something that you need to look at in that capacity. You don't have to have everybody's support around you to be able to grow spiritually. Find the people that will support you.
It's an internal thing, isn't it? Yeah. So you, outside support is nice, but essentially in spiritual journeys are internal, and you don't really need anything to go through those journeys. If you externalize it, if you think, oh, I need this item or that object or this person, or I need to, you know, need that book or whatever. And I know that we're veering off the subject again a little bit, but this is an interesting thing to unpack, because it contributes to your well-being when you're in a situation where you're not fully supported at home. It is all internal. So whatever goes on in your head and in your heart, and whatever development your soul goes through and your mind goes through, that's all internal. Sure enough, you know, it's nice to have all these little, you know, things on the outside that represent what's going on the inside. But if it's not possible to have those things on the outside, it's still possible to have that transformational internal journey through to your spiritual fulfillment. I'm using really big words.
You are. You're sounding very smart today.
What do you mean today? I thought that was like every day.
But like you're saying, when we feel unsupported, I feel it's more valuable for us to actually look at why we feel unsupported, because we shouldn't be looking for external validation for support.
Exactly.
We should be looking internally. And if, like, if someone says to you, you know, like for example, that what I said about, you know, the husband goes 3 months into the business, I thought you'd be making more money by now. Right. That kind of thing can trigger in someone who's in business. Oh my God, he doesn't believe me. He doesn't believe I can do it. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't think that I'm worthy of this business, or that I know what I'm doing, or, you know, basically what the comments that you're getting from the people around you, all they're doing is bringing your insecurities to the surface. So it's not that they're unsupportive. They're just saying something, right? It's us that gives it the meaning. So if we take a step back and don't give it the meaning that we usually give it, and actually go, okay, hold on a second, that must be an insecurity that I have. How about I go back and work out why that's there? Why is that coming up for me now? What do I need to do to let that go?
Right? And eventually you will develop that layer of Teflon, I think. Where these little things, you know, people are throwing things at you and they will just slide right off. They will not stick, because you've developed this non-stick layer that's permanent, where those things don't even get to you, let alone stick to you. So that they will just slide right off into oblivion. And that's the space that you want to get into.
I think so. And that only comes from really doing the inner work. You have to do the inner work and address it when it comes up.
And that comes from dealing with all that stuff that comes in and acknowledging all that stuff that comes in, and knowing how that stuff affects you, and then develop that layer. of Teflonicity, whatever you want to call it, I don't know.
Because
you can't develop it without you knowing what it is that you are trying to protect yourself from.
Yes. You know? And ultimately, you know, when someone says that unsupportive comment to us, right, unless we actually ask them what they mean by that, we have no right to assign a meaning to it. They're just stringing a bunch of words together, right? Ultimately, because we're not in here, we're not in their head, so we have no idea what they're actually thinking behind that and what their intention is behind that comment. So we have no right to actually turn it into something that it's not. We ultimately, when things come up and they trigger us and trigger our insecurities or our fears, we just need to dig deep and do the work.
Do the work, people. Do the work. Do the work. I think that's the biggest takeaway from today is if you're feeling like you're unsupported, if you're feeling that there are haters around you but you're not doing anything about it, then that is what you are taking ownership of. You are taking ownership of your passivity or the fact that you're not doing anything about it. However, if you recognize all these things and then decide to make steps to do the inner work and then to do the outer work, then that is what will act ultimately lead you to being immune to the haters, to the non-supporters, to the, you know, whoever doesn't celebrate who you are and what you do.
Because ultimately we have total control over the meaning that we give to things. So if we decide that when someone calls us a fake, that we don't give that the meaning that the dictionary says, that we just think that that's a non-equivalent word, it doesn't exist to us because we aren't fake, so that doesn't exist. So if we change the meaning of these words to what's more empowering for us, then we have total control over how we feel and how others, other people's comments and reactions actually impact us. And that's a really powerful
tool. Total control. It is. I think most people don't believe that we have total control. I think a lot of people believe that we're just, you know, sort of drifting in the breeze and just go wherever the wind takes us or whatever, which is a very, you know, flippant and kind of hippie-ish attitude. Well, if there's anything wrong with hippies, then there's a place for everything, okay? Don't send me hate mail. All
right? I'll stop writing it now.
But it is. You need to believe that you have total control over how you react to things. Yes, and what you take on and what you don't. If you don't believe that, then everything else to do with your personal development is going to be such a struggle.
Yes. You may not have control over the circumstances around you, right? But what we do ultimately have control over is ourselves and how we interpret things.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, it's almost 1 o'clock. Gee, see, it went so fast. And I'm glad that we didn't put in more agenda points for today because we wouldn't have been able to cover everything.
No, I don't think so.
is that your phone ringing in the background? I don't think it's mine.
Yeah. It's mine.
No one has the number.
No one has the number, so it's going to be one of them. Yeah. Yeah. The ATO to tell me I have a tax bill.
Or that you're getting some tax back, you know, if only you would just give them your bank account details. Anyway, so it's been fun. I'm glad that we unpacked a lot of these. There is a lot more to say about this. So to anyone who's watching live or replay, feel free to unpack the topic on Kerry's page where the video is or anywhere where this video is. Let's keep the conversation going because the more we talk about these things, the more these things become normal. So we want to provide an environment for people where they can express their spiritual journey and their business journey as well. So, feel free to keep the comments coming, people. We will be back. Will we be back next week? We're not sure what time
we're not sure.
Back, I don't think. Yeah, but it'll be posted anyway. So those of you who are keeping an eye on our pages, you will see the announcement coming up. So just keep an eye on for that. So, yeah, this is it for today, folks. It's been fun. We'll see you at the next exciting episode, I think. All right, y'all have a good day.
Bye.